this is our story. I want you to look at Psalm 34 and verse 3. And we're going to see that from the very beginning, there's four building blocks that have existed in First Baptist Russellville to form the heart of worship. And I would even argue that in Psalm chapter 34, going all the way back to the first day in King Solomon's temple, the people of God utilized the Psalms to worship the Lord. And so coming from King Solomon's day, 1000 B.C., to the first century church and the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ, and they offered praise and worship to God. Now, some 2,000 years later, we're still gathering in the name of the Lord and offering praise and worship to the Lord. And I think this verse sums up what worship is all about, our story. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. We're going to let this text just fall out before us today, and we're going to see four building blocks of the worship of the one true God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. The story of First Baptist Russellville began in 1873. Raise your hand if you were there that first Sunday, 1873. Right here on this same block, El Paso and 2nd Street, a small, very small group of people came together to form the First Baptist Church in the River Valley. The first 45 years of the church's existence were modest, to say the least. The church met in a very small one-room building, averaged somewhere around 85 or less in attendance on a weekly basis. The 1880 census records the population of Russellville at only 825 people. Somewhere in the hearts of those men and women was a shared vision to begin a fellowship in the name of Jesus Christ in the River Valley to worship the one true God. Aren't you thankful that they sacrificed and courageously started this fellowship that we now call First Baptist Russellville in 2017, over 140 years later? I invite you this morning to walk with me through our story and see that from the very beginning, I think these building blocks have been present, the building blocks of worship, that from the very beginning, number one, we've exalted our God, we've experienced His goodness, we exist for His person, and even to this day, we are empowered as His people. We begin this psalm with this cornerstone of worship. What is worship? I believe at the very beginning we would have to say it begins with exalting our God. Worship is the exaltation of our God. Verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." This involves the identity of our God. His identity. In Exodus chapter 20, the Lord entered into a covenant relationship with His people, Israel. And in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, God spoke all these words. He said, "I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of slavery, you shall have no other gods before me. When the psalmist declares in Psalm 34:3, let us magnify the Lord, let us exalt his name together, who is the Lord? Exodus 20 makes clear, as well as all of Scripture, that the Lord is the one true God. He is uniquely God. There is no other God. He is the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. He is the gravitational center of all of life, of all of history, past, present, and future. He alone is worthy of worship. He's the Most High God. He is the one of whom it is instructed, let there be no other gods but me. Now in 2017, we share this space together again, and we lift our voices together and praise to God, and we say, God, you still are the only one worthy of our worship and our praise. Worship begins with his identity. In Psalm chapter 34, in the first three verses, we see six different Hebrew words that describe the praise of the one true God. In Psalm 34, verse 1, the scriptures begin with, I will bless the Lord at all times. This word bless, meaning to kneel down, to bow down before, to bless God as an act of adoration. You see, when we realize who God is, when we truly enter into his presence, acknowledging who he is, we can only respond in worship, bowing down before him, blessing his name. Psalm 34, 1, his praise shall continually be in my lips. This word meaning to publicly celebrate, to sing before the Lord, to laud him. God is enthroned on the praises of his people. This is the kind of praise that God dwells in. Psalm 34, 2, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. I'll bless the Lord. We'll praise the Lord. We will boast in the Lord. This is perhaps the most familiar Hebrew word for praise. We get the word hallelujah from this word. To praise the Lord. To boast in the Lord. To rave about the Lord. To shout with joy to the Lord. Psalm 34, 2, let the humble hear and be glad. Gladness is associated with worship. To be glad, to have joy, to rejoice, to exalt, to make glad. Psalm 34, 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Promote the Lord, praise the Lord, proclaim the greatness of the Lord. And then the sixth word, verse 3, let us exalt his name together. Raise high the name of the Lord. Lift high, extol. You don't go very far in Psalm number 34 until you realize that worship is what it's all about. Worshiping the one true God, praising him, blessing his name, being glad in him, boasting in him, magnifying him, exalting him. This is our story. This is our story. Exalting the name of the Lord together, acknowledging his identity, knowing who he is. But his identity in Exodus 20 is followed quickly by instruction, very pointed instruction. In light of who I am, you shall have no other gods before me. In one sense, it may seem self-serving for God Almighty to say, I'm the only one, no others. But when you think about His identity, of who can it be said He spoke the world into existence? Of whom can it be said He put the stars in place and knows everyone by name? And there's only a billion or so of them. Isaiah, the prophet, would say in Isaiah chapter 40 of the one true God, to whom will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with Him? Sarcastically, the prophet says, an idol? A craftsman cast the idol? A goldsmith overlays the idol with gold? Cast on it silver chains? He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses special wood that will not rot. He seeks out the most skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. And there's a pause. And then Isaiah says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth. He whose inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is He who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. He brings kings and rulers to nothing. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And so the Lord, the everlasting one, can say, when you gather to worship, worship me, for there are no other gods. I'm the only one. The exclusive one, the unique one to be worshiped. We gather to exalt our God. We will very soon move into our fourth place of worship. And as different as all four houses of worship have been, they will all exist for the same purpose, to worship the everlasting God. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We exalt our God. Secondly, we experience His goodness. I love this building block of worship. From exaltation, the high and holy and lifted up one, to human experience, we have experienced His goodness. 34:4, Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. The poor man cried. The Lord heard him. The Lord saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear Him. He delivers them. And verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. The psalmist says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me. He heard me. He saved me. He encamps around me. Now, if I can just inconvenience you for just one moment and ask you a few questions. Have you ever experienced the goodness of the Lord? Have you ever cried out to Him? Has He ever answered you? Has the Lord ever delivered you from the day of trouble? Has the Lord ever heard you? Has the Lord saved you? Is there anyone that would raise their hand and say, I know the Lord has saved me. He's delivered me. Are there any of you that's old enough to know that you've woke up in times of trouble and the angel of the Lord has encamped around you and given you the peace that passes all understanding? To experience His goodness. The psalmist says in verse 8, oh, taste it. Taste it. Have any of you tasted anything good lately? Any of you ever tasted anything new and you thought to yourself, this is good. I have to have more of this. I remember when I went to Kenya for the first time and I tasted Kenyan coffee. I went on a mission trip to Southwest Asia a couple of weeks ago, and I walked into a coffee shop expecting to buy the real Arabica coffee. And there, Danny Lyons, on the wall, I saw Kenyan coffee. And I said, I want some of that right there. Last Monday morning, I'm not for sure what time zone I'm in since I've been about 9 time zones away, but one of the days of this past week, I sent out a text on our staff thread, and I said, Kenyan coffee brewing in the main office right now. I love the taste of Kenyan coffee. Love the smell. I've tasted it. It's good. When we taste that something is good, we see that it's good. We experience it. We feel it. The writer says, blessed is the man who takes refuge, who finds refuge in God. Those who seek the Lord, they don't lack any good thing. The commentator Ross says it this way, tasting means experimenting. Experimenting with it for the first time, trying it. And so here the word forms an implied comparison. You taste the Lord. In essence, tasting the Lord describes your first experience with the Lord. Your first experience of saying, my God is good. I remember in the summer of 1984, as just a young man, boy, I would just grip the pews of that small little church on the south side of Fort Smith, Arkansas, little Kavanaugh community. And there was this something, and I'd know later it was obviously the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but I would just grab hold and, if you will, resisting, tasting the Lord. And then one summer day, I tasted the Lord for the first time and was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I tasted and I saw that the Lord was good. Any of you remember when you tasted the Lord for the first time? And that life of faith began. You tasted Him. And you saw. The commentator goes on, he says, if they do taste this way, they will see, they realize by experience that God is good. But catch this. They desire that others would taste and see as well. I remember Jay Hamm, he would bring home Kenyan coffee and he'd say, Mike, you got to taste it. You got to taste this. It's the best coffee I've ever had. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, a natural response is to say, hey, neighbor, God is good. He tastes good. Experience it for yourself. We exalt our God. We experience His goodness. Hasn't God been good to First Baptist Russellville? A new day dawned for the church in 1918 when this second place of worship was built right on the corner, El Paso and 2nd. If you've ever stood in the choir room, then you've stood on the same plot of land that this auditorium set. Historical documents record that church members came together and they said, "We, the undersigned, promise to give the sums opposite our names for the erection of a Baptist church at Russellville to be paid in annual payments of 1, 2, 3, or 5 years as I desire." Members pledged $25 over a 5-year period of time. $50. $100. It cost $25,000. And the members all agreed and said, "We promise with courage and boldness." This new building, as it would go up, would include a 400-seat auditorium, a basement, a choir room, a kitchen, a dining room, 12 Sunday school rooms. Can you just imagine some 100 years ago, the people of First Baptist walking into that new facility for the first time and saying, "God is good." The church would grow rapidly from 1918 over the next 40 years to about 1960. Sunday school enrollment would explode from 160 to 1,000. Sunday school attendance would approach 500 people for the first time. The population of Russellville would grow from 825 to over 9,000 by 1960. We exalt our God. We experience His goodness. We exist for His person. In verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." A name is inseparable from the person to whom it belongs. We exalt His name. Whose name? The name of the Lord. Paul would say in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To worship His name, to call upon His name, is to worship Him, the Lord. We exist to glorify the name of the Lord. Now, it's on the schedule to enter the new worship center at Glenwood Avenue on March the 26th. First service starting at approximately 9:15 a.m., followed by a second one at 11 a.m., and then a third one at 6:15 p.m. How about if we all walk in on day one with the same expectation? Now, it's going to be fancy. It's going to be nice. It's going to smell good. Seats are going to be comfortable. How about if we walk in with one expectation? Let's walk in together knowing we exist for one reason only, His name to be praised. How about that? What if we share that expectation together, that we exist not to promote ourselves, to promote our causes. We exist for His name's sake. To worship Him and Him alone. His name. His name. His name. We go in His name. History records that even in the earliest days of First Baptist Russellville, they went in His name. Maybe they didn't have a whole lot of resources. No big buses. No big airplanes to fly on. But they went in His name. They planted churches in north, south, east, and west sections of the River Valley. They would go to places like India and Brazil and the Amazon, to places unreached with the gospel. They would go in His name. Oh, as we move into the fourth house of worship that this church has ever had, may we enter in with one thing on our minds. We act on His behalf. We promote His cause. We exalt His name. Paul would say in Acts 9:27, I preach boldly in the name of Jesus. In Acts 15, it would be said of Paul and Barnabas, they were men who risked their lives for the sake of the gospel. A very valid question would be, why in 2017 are we still going in the name of the Lord? Why? Why is it still important that we still go in the name of the Lord? Because there are some. Mind you, there's millions. Mind you, there's billions of people on this planet who have never heard the name of the Lord. They've never heard the name of Jesus. They've never tasted the goodness of the Lord. They've never seen and realized by experience that God is good. Church, our work is not yet finished. Oh, this building may be finished, hopefully. But our work will continue until the day that He returns. And the Scripture says He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. We go. We continue to go in His name. Any of you recognize this facility? Some of you just woke up. We're sitting in this facility right now. In 1960, First Baptist Russellville stepped out on faith again and said, we need a new house of worship. Again, the bond was secured by church members promising the bank that they would fulfill their commitment. And they each signed personal notes. This sanctuary would be gloriously completed in 1962. It would double the size of the 1918 building. The church's mission and vision would expand as an Acts 1:8 strategy would be formulated. And the people of First Baptist Russellville would come together around this principle. Let us be His witnesses first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Hundreds of church members would go on mission around the world. The church would expand mightily at home. Sunday school attendance would smash the 1,000 barrier. Churches would be planted all over the place. Hundreds would come to faith in Jesus Christ as the population of Russellville would triple from 1960 to 2000. If I may ask you, are there any present this morning that you tasted and saw the Lord was good and you were baptized in that baptistry up there? How many of you baptized in those waters up there? Raise your hand real high so we can see real high. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Praise the Lord. That's why we exist. I'm so excited to tell you that on day one, March 26th, fill that baptistry up over there because we'll be dunking people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. People who've tasted His goodness as we continue to exist for His name's sake. Well, we're empowered. We're empowered as His people. All of these words in verse 3 are important. Magnify the Lord. Let us exalt His name together. There's a ring. It's just a ring that comes with that word, together. Any of you watch that highlight video and it just kind of tug at your heartstrings a little bit? When you think about all the people who've made up First Baptist Russellville over the years, all the Sunday school teachers, all the missions leaders, all the VBS directors, all the VBS teachers who've said, I'm about to wring some kid's neck, Holy Spirit, if you don't come quickly, help me here. Together. Together. Stop for just a moment. March the 5th, 2017, we're here together. March the 12th, 2017, God willing, we'll be here together for the last time. March 26th, God willing, we'll be together in a new house of worship for the first time. Let us exalt His name together. The psalmist says in Psalm 100, know the Lord, He's God. He made us. We're His. We're His people. The sheep of His pasture. Why do we gather together on the first day of the week? Because we're His people. The Apostle Paul would say, you're the church, the body of Christ, the one body. Oh, many different members. Oh, many different gifts. But we are together, His people. May we never forget. Though we walk into new surroundings, though we enter a new era together, three things must remain the same. We must continue reaching people together. We must continue teaching the Bible together. We must continue ministering to one another together. We are here because every generation of First Baptist Russellville has reached new people for the cause of Christ. Let us never forget, we do not exist for ourselves. We exist for the people who are not yet here. We exist for the people around the world who do not yet know the name of Jesus. We're not here to promote our own cause. We're not here to promote our own agenda. We're here to reach new people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're here to teach the Bible, teaching you to obey all things. Verses 11, 12, 13, and 14, teaching you to obey the commands of the Lord, to keep your tongue from evil, to keep your lips from speaking deceit, to turn from evil, to do good, to seek peace, and to pursue peace. How many of you would agree that there's some things in the Bible we haven't quite got down yet, and we still need to keep learning, listening, teaching? You know, your staff, your pastor, we also acknowledge that we must continue ministering to one another. We acknowledge this is somewhat of a bittersweet time for many of us. Oh, it's exciting. We'll move into a new era, a new place of worship. But, you know, the psalmist says in verse 18, the Lord's near to the brokenhearted, and He saves the crushed in spirit. This is somewhat of a bittersweet time because all of us know that times have not always been good for First Baptist Russell. There's been economic hardship, world wars, Great Depression, poverty. There's been sickness. There's been death. In one word, over the years, there's been the brokenhearted. Your hearts have been broken. You've said goodbye to loved ones right here. But one thing remains the same. We've ministered to one another in the name of Jesus. When our hearts are broken, we come together. We love one another. We lean on one another. Who knows what God has in store for 2017? Who knows 2018 and beyond? But the Scriptures tell us many are the afflictions of the righteous. There will be more hard times, difficult days. And so we must minister together, encouraging one another. So there she is. We're weeks away from starting a new chapter in our story, our fourth place of worship. The church approved the Genesis Project in the spring of 2015. We broke ground in December of that year. And now, some 16 months later, we're right on the edge of completing phase one of the project. First Baptist Russellville has been an integral part of the River Valley for over 140 years. And through it all, exalting our God, experiencing His goodness, existing for His name's sake, being empowered as His people together. These four building blocks have always been at the center of our story. And 2017 will be remembered as the year we moved into the beautiful new state-of-the-art worship center, and the story will continue. We must remain committed to ensuring that the gospel will go forth from here to the ends of the earth so that all may come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. This is our story. Some of you are a part of the story. Some of you, we invite you to be a part of the story. Trust Christ for forgiveness. Be baptized in His name. Attend worship faithfully, connect with a life group, serve wholeheartedly, pray fervently, give generously, go courageously. The future is now. This is our story. Robert, will you come? Will you pray with me? Father, this is our time. You are just as worthy of worship as you were the first day that people sang praises to you. You're just as worthy today. And Lord, it is still true today that there is salvation in no other name but the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we must continue to exalt you, experience your goodness, exist for your name's sake, be empowered as your people to go into all the world so that all the nations may know and worship you, for you alone are God. Today we enter into a time of decision, and maybe this is your time today to become a part of our story, to come for membership, to come to be baptized in the name of Christ, to come. Whatever God is leading you today, would you stand? Counselors will be here. Would you come?